bow for a word of prayer. And would you mind from your heart silently right now, just pray to the God of the universe. Would you say to the Lord, Lord, would you please speak to my heart today through the message in prayer today? As everyone lifts their prayer to God, would you say, Lord, please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you pray to the Lord and say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to today, filled with your spirit or controlled completely with your spirit. Lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want all the praise to go to you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Now remain standing. We're going to sing a little kid's song that you may have learned. How many of you know the wise men build his house upon the rock? All right, a few of you. Okay, I'm going to need you to really sing out and help us, okay? Now, this is a kid's song, but it's got a profound meaning, okay? We're going to do it a cappella. The wise men build his house upon the rock. The wise men build his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went splat. All right. You did really well. I appreciate those that know that song and sang it so well. You may be seated. That was a good job. I don't know too much about your leader up here, but you guys did a great job. Today we're going to be looking at the question, and really nobody can answer this question but you and God. What are you building your life upon? What are you building your life upon? I'm amazed that when we sing these kids' songs, they may be simple, but what a profound truth. And it goes right according to the Bible in Matthew chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7. Last week, we looked at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 23. This morning, we're going to be looking at verses 24 to 27. We're looking at four verses only. And I know some of you are excited about that. You're saying, wow, four verses. He's going to get through that fast. Well, don't get too excited, because I'm probably not going to get through them that fast, okay? So we're going to be looking at this. Now, in this chapter, in a little bit of the way of review, I'm just going to take a moment. Remember in verses 13 and 14, Scripture here. Now, this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus teaching both folks who are saved, people that are unsaved. And some of those unsaved people were Pharisees, remember, and they were the religious leaders, but they were complete hypocrites. On the outside, they appeared to be one thing. That's what the Lord called them, hypocrites. But on the inside, they were totally different. But he taught through chapters 5, 6, and 7 as he taught the crowd, again, a mixed crowd, those that were truly followers of Jesus, accepted who he was, and those that were not. And as he preached this, there's a lot of things in the Sermon on the Mount that are very, very challenging for us to follow. It really is. Last week we talked about, in particular, verses 13 and 14, there's two paths. Remember, I left the tape up here on purpose. Remember the two paths? One of them is the broad path, the wide path. Remember, all the way from the tape here, all the way, that'd be good to trip and stumble on the platform, wouldn't it? All the way to here. And it seems like a highway at that point, a larger road from some things I read, might be like 24 foot wide, would be a pretty wide road. And the Bible says in those verses that there's many, many people on this path or on this road. And this road leads to where? Destruction. It leads to destruction according to the Bible, right? And then the second path was this path, the narrow path. And they said a lot of times these little private paths that led to someone's house may be like 6 feet wide. So just a fourth of as wide as that is. And the Bible talks about that path, that there be few people that take this narrow path. Few people. And it leads to life. Now that's a picture of the lost on the wide path, right? And the saved on the narrow path. And then we went down a little bit further in the passage to the verses that followed that, verses 15 to 23 in particular. It talks about not two paths, but two different trees. Remember the two trees? You have a corrupt tree that brings forth evil fruit, right? And when that corrupt tree, and we use this basket, whether you have fruit or not. Now, all those tomatoes have been used from last week because we had our taco in a bag or walking taco for our back-to-school bash. But the idea was, you know, are you bearing fruit? Because there's two types of trees. The corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit and is hewn down and burned up, is what the Bible says. Now, the one that bears the fruit over here in the narrow path, those that are bearing fruit, it says the good tree brings forth good fruit, and by their fruit you shall know them. So those that bring forth evil fruit, or the way it should be, are those that are lost, but those that are saved should bring forth good fruit, right? Now, today we're talking about two different foundations. Two different foundations in these four verses. If you would, as we look at these verses, please follow along. It says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, in this passage of Scripture, two foundations. Two foundations. One foundation we're going to go into detail about here in just a moment. Then we'll cover the other type of foundation. But you may say, is this talking about someone who is lost versus someone who is saved? Like the good foundation built upon the rock is someone who's saved, and that which is built upon the sand are the lost people of the world? Or is that talking about a Christian who is building wrong upon the wrong foundation, but building upon things that they want to build upon rather than upon the teachings of Christ? If you ask me that question, I would probably say yes. Both. That means both. I really think that primarily, if you're looking at the context of the two paths and the two trees and now the two foundations, that it's primarily speaking about those that are lost and those that are saved. But I think we can use that and apply it to our lives as well. Because even though we may know Christ as our Savior, a lot of times we still insist upon our way and building upon the sand instead of building upon the teachings of Christ, right? Anybody here human today? Anybody say we struggle with that sometimes? So although the strict interpretation is lost and saved, the principle that we can apply is also for we as Christians, because sometimes we can attempt to build upon the sand rather than upon the teachings of Christ. So I say that so that when I read this, I said, well, let's talk about lost and saved, and I'm saved, so I can take a little nap. You know, I really don't mind people taking a nap, but it really bothers me when you snore. So I've told our people, people that are visiting, just in case you know, I've told our folks that if someone starts snoring, that they could take a hymn book and throw it at them. So just want to give you fair warning, all right? What are you building your life upon is really the question. What are you building your life upon? Point number one today is foundation number one. Foundation number one found in verse 24 in particular. Foundation number one. I'm going to take it like verse or word by word or phrase by phrase. It says, therefore. Well, you know, if you see a therefore, you got to look back in the passage to see what it's there for, right? And it's therefore because we've been talking about two paths, we've been talking about two trees, and now we're gonna analyze it in another way. Now this is a parable. This is something that the people could relate to, they could understand. They'd probably seen people build houses on sand instead of upon a rock. They'd maybe seen these houses crack and get washed away. They were familiar with storms. So he's telling them a story that they can say, uh-huh, I get it, I see it. So he says, therefore, based upon what we've been teaching, I'm going to give you another story, another parable here so that you can understand. Says, therefore. And then he says, whosoever. Whosoever. Now, that word emphasizes to me that anyone can do this. Anyone can do this. It's a choice, right? We make a choice about how we're going to build and what foundation we're going to build upon. You see, Jesus never made us puppets. I mean, he doesn't make us a robot or a puppet to make us trust Jesus as our Savior. We have the choice. And even after we're saved, the Lord gives us the choice of whether we're going to build our life on good stuff, on the teachings of Jesus, or am I going to build it upon what I think, right? So that word whosoever, therefore whosoever, it's a choice. Remember in salvation how that salvation is for whosoever? It's a choice. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, don't underestimate the importance of that whosoever in salvation. I am thankful for the whosoever of salvation, aren't you? Because what if the Bible said you have to have an income of six digits, and if you don't, you can't be saved? Guess what? There's a whole bunch of us that wouldn't be saved. And what if he said, you know what? You have to be at least 6 foot tall in order to be saved. There'd be a whole lot of us. Remember, I wanted to be 6 foot four, but God saw it a different way. Maybe I started out at 6 foot four. Maybe I'm just settling. I'm not sure. But what if he said there's a requirement of height, or there's a requirement of income, or you have to take an IQ test. And if your IQ is over a certain level, you can be saved. But otherwise, I'm thankful for the whosoever. And for those that say that there are certain people that are sealed and destined to be saved and they can't do anything about it, and there are certain people who are sealed and destined to be lost and they can't do anything about it, they need to look at the whosoever's of salvation. Because if that's the case, that only certain people can be saved, the Bible lies. And I know that the Bible does not lie. The whosoever means whosoever. Means it's open to all of us. You know, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, it also uses that word for whosoever. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Aren't you thankful for that? Whosoever. So we looked at, therefore, whosoever. See what I mean? I told you it's going to take a while. We're looking at it word by word and phrase by phrase. Therefore, whosoever heareth, heareth. Where do we hear? Now, a lot of people with the problem, as a lost person, the reason they've not heard is because, number one, we're not doing our job to tell them. We talked about that in Sunday school. Or they're not coming to church anymore like they used to. Families used to come to church more, right? And they would hear it. But even Christians are neglecting the house of God, just like the Bible says, right? The Bible says, basically, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So some of them are going to do it. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, the day of the Lord's return. So a lot of people are not hearing a whole lot about what they're supposed to be doing because they're ignoring the word of God in their quiet time. They're ignoring the word of God by not coming to church. It says, heareth these sayings of mine. Now, where do we have the sayings of Jesus today? Is it locked away in some vault, in some country somewhere far away in some church's basement? No. We have the sayings of Jesus right here in the Word of God. In fact, we have the very words of God right here. I bet most of us have more than one of these at home, don't we? But when it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, there's no excuse for not knowing the teachings of the Lord. It's right here. Whether they're in red, the very words of Jesus, like this sermon is, or whether it's the Old Testament prophecies, or whether it's the New Testament prophecies looking forward to the Lord's return, or how to live a practical Christian life, or the book of Philippians that tells us how to live a joyful life, it's all here. We have the very sayings of Jesus. It's not like, well, I just don't know what God thinks about that. You know what that admits to me? If you say, I just don't know what God thinks about that, you've not looked in the Bible the way you should. Because I believe that every problem we have, every issue that we're concerned with, everything we need to make a decision on is found, at least in principle, in this book called the Word of God. I'm thankful for these sayings of Jesus. So it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. And we have the sayings of Jesus right here. But here's the kicker. And doeth them. And doeth them. You see, there's a lot of time. There's a lot of times that we might even hear the Word of God and we're like, now we wouldn't do this on the inside, we wouldn't do this on the outside, but we're doing this on the inside. You know, it's like the preacher's preaching. And if I could see your inside is going, not going to do it. No way, preacher, am I going to do that. You know, we as children of God, if we know the Lord as our Savior, guess what? We need to not only listen to the sayings of Christ, this inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, but we need to do it. We need to make up our mind we're going to do it. And one of the values of hearing the Word of God preached and taught is I make up my mind that I'm going to do it. You know, it's not through the eloquency of the preacher. If that was the case, I'd have quit a long time ago because I don't feel I'm very eloquent. But I know that there's power in the Word of God. The Bible in Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 4 and verse 12. Notice how powerful the Word of God is, whether it's preached or taught or read. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Wow. Quick means alive. Powerful means just what it says. Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what? This is an amazing book. Y'all agree with that? And if we want to build what we're supposed to build upon, we need to be in the book. We need to know what the book says. What an amazing book. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. We just don't need to listen. We need to do it. In James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Notice what it says about doing the word of God. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's an abundance of evil, abundance of naughtiness. And receive with meekness what? The engrafted word, the word of God, which is able what? To save your souls. It says, but be ye doers, what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And it goes on. It says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, speaking of the word of God again, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You see, there's a lot of Christians that fit into the category. They've heard a lot. They've been under the preaching of the Word of God. They've been under the teaching of the Word of God. Maybe their families were very solid in the Word of God, so they heard it maybe in family devotions. And maybe they spent time on their own and heard the Word of God, heard the Word of God. But they forgot to do it. Or maybe it's kind of become old hat. I used to do it, but I'm not going to do it now. Listen to me. If we want to build up on the right foundation, guess what? We got to not only hear the Word of God, expose ourselves to the Word of God, but we must do the Word of God. Do the Word of God. It says, as you continue on, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him. Let me ask you a question. Whose judgment really matters? Whose judgment really ultimately matters? It's the judgment of God. And Jesus in this passage is writing or is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. And we have it in written form, but he says, I will liken him. You know, the judgment of Jesus Christ really matters. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And you know what's happening right here is Jesus is teaching the people. He's saying, guess what? If you want me to judge you as wise, this is what you need to do. You need to not only listen to these words, you need to do these words. I will liken him. It's the Lord's judgment that really matters. But then it says, I'll liken him unto a wise man. You know, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom from God is emphasized as a goal for us. Wisdom. And it says, if you do this, if you build your life upon the foundation of my teachings, guess what? In my eyes, you're wise. In my eyes, you are showing wisdom. You say, what exactly is wisdom? Wisdom is being able to put what we've learned and been taught into practical everyday life. In the decisions we make, in the way we treat people, in the thoughts that we have, how we react to certain situations, that is wisdom. And the Lord says, If you hear these sayings of mine and you do these sayings of mine, I will consider you a wise man. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Look at the next phrase there. It says, "I will liken him unto a wise man," what? "Which built his house." You know, it's a personal thing. You know, your walk with God is dependent upon, guess who? You. Of course, God helps us. God encourages us. God gives us how to live our lives from the Word of God, absolutely. But ultimately, it's a personal decision. You know, we have some Christians that they're just set in their ways. I mean, they're basically, "I dare you, preacher. I dare you. I dare you to preach a message that challenges my heart. I just dare you." You know, they're set in their ways. We need to be soft and receptive to the Word of God. We need to listen. You hear people say, you know, "Well, we were sitting on the edge of our seat." You know, ball games and things like that, or maybe you was watching some murder mystery or something, and we were on the edge of our seat. You know, seriously, not literally, but in a real spiritual way, when the Word of God is preached or taught, or as we look at the Word of God ourselves in our quiet time, we ought to be on the edge of our seat saying, "Lord, speak to me." It's a decision that we make that I am going to build my life upon the teachings of Jesus. It's a decision. It says, "Which built his house." And what did they build the house upon? Upon a rock. You know, ultimately, Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our rock. Psalm 18 and verse 2. Notice what it says. Psalm 18 and verse 2. It says, here it is quite simply, "The Lord is my rock," right? "My fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." We looked at last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. It talks about Jesus as our rock. It says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink," speaking about the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings, "for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them." That was Christ. And guess what? And that rock was Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Notice what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You see, the rock, the foundation of our lives as a Christian definitely is Jesus, right? But if you look real close at this parable, it even goes a little bit further than that. It's not only Jesus, because we know we're saved by putting our faith and trust in Jesus, right? And that is the foundation of our faith. But it goes a little bit beyond that. We need to make sure that we're building our life upon the teachings of Jesus. The teachings of Jesus. Remember what it says? "Here's these sayings of mine and doeth them," which built his house upon a rock. So specifically in this passage and in this parable, once a person is saved, the rock and foundation of our life is Jesus. But it goes even further than that. It's listening to what he says and doing what he says. Title of the message, "What are you building your life upon?" Foundation number one is point number one. Building upon the rock, which is Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. Foundation number two, look at verse 26. And it says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine." And everyone. Jesus had just taught them at length in this Sermon on the Mount. He'd taught people by his example and ministry. And he will throughout his ministry of 3 years. "And everyone that heareth," and what heareth what? "These sayings of mine," in verse 26. "These teachings," again, the very words of God, which is equal to the Bible today. Notice what it says. "And doeth them not." Doeth them not. In other words, foundation number two is a person who chooses not to do even what they know to do is right. They choose not to do what the Bible tells them to do. In other words, they are disobeying God. What does Jesus liken them to? It says right there in that verse, they shall be likened unto a, what? A foolish man. A foolish man. Wow. You know, I looked up Strong's Concordance and they have definitions. Do you know what it said? I'm not sure if I've ever heard it quite this direct. The definition, according to Strong's, of that word foolish in the Greek means dull or stupid. Dull or stupid. You ever feel a little dull in the brain? Do you ever feel a little bit stupid? Now let me ask you people that are older than I am, does it just get worse from here?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. And there's another word used in the definition. It's blockhead. Blockhead. So, you know, someone who is not building upon the teachings of Jesus is foolish. They are dull. They are, I'm just telling you what Strong said. They are stupid. They are a blockhead. And then it goes on to say, which built his house upon the sand. Again, it's a choice. And sand makes a lousy foundation. Have you ever been to the beach and have you ever built a sandcastle? Now, how many of you have ever done that? Raise your hand up real high. Okay, now how elaborate were your sandcastles? Now, you see sometimes, you see these pictures or something, and they're elaborate. I mean, these people really, really get into it. Now, in my life, as best I remember with the boys, we were, it's kind of like a beach. It's up on Lake Erie. You know, there's waves and all that. So we've been up there, and we built some things. They were pretty simple, as best I remember. We probably have pictures somewhere. Amy takes pictures of everything, which is good. We have a historical record of that. But you know, it's not much. But you build a castle in the sand, and then the tide comes up a little bit, washes it away. So let me tell you, building up on sand is a pretty stupid idea, right? But people that are lost, they're building upon the foundation of sand. They're building upon what they want in life. They're building upon their own hopes and goals and all of that. But can I tell you a stark reality? Are you ready? There's a lot of people that profess Jesus as their Savior. And they say, preacher, I'm saved. Preacher, I might even be able to tell you when I came down the aisle. I can tell you who led me to Jesus. I can tell you maybe even the approximate time and day and all. But guess what? They're still building upon the foundation of sand. Now, if they truly made the decision to trust Jesus from their heart, they're born again. They're saved. They will go to heaven. But anytime we say that I'm going to build my life upon possessions, you're building upon sand. Or if you say, I'm going to build my life upon my own goals, even as a Christian, I'm going to do that. Guess what? It's the same as if you're building upon sand. And you say, well, I'm going to build my life because I think life is all about having fun. So I'm going to build my life upon pleasure. Guess what? It's like building your life upon sand. People sometimes say, you know, let's get really, really, really practical. Some people say, I'm going to build my life upon sports. Boy, it's amazing how quiet it got in here. But you know what? People do that. And you know me, I'm a big sports guy, and I think sports are wonderful in their proper perspective. But some people's life revolve around sports. It's like, build, even if they're a child of God, they're a Christian and they know that they're saved and they're on their way to heaven, it's like building their life upon sand. It's a pretty stupid, blockheaded idea. Because all of this stuff is going to pass away. All of this stuff is like sand. It's going to be washed away. What are you building your life upon? Foundation number one, the rock of Jesus and the rock of Jesus' teaching. Foundation number two, build upon the sand. Whatever you put as your foundation in life, it's a bad idea. Other than Jesus, it's a bad idea. Number three, the storm. It's amazing to me that in verse 25 and 27, it's described exactly the same way the storm is. It says in verse 25, and it says the same in verse 27, and the rain descended. Descended where? For out of heaven, okay? It came down out of the sky. It says, and the floods came. Now, we can kind of understand that lately, right? Because the rains have really come down. The sky really has opened up. And we've had some serious flooding in a number of places, including probably nearest to us, the worst was what, Weston and Buchanan in that area. But a lot of people across our state have been flooded. So the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. And what else does it say? And beat up on that house. Beat up on that house. You know, when it talks about the house, it basically beat upon the life of individual. Now again, I believe the primary meaning of this is talking about at the end when the storm comes, the storm of judgment. But you know, the reality is, how many of you think life has a few difficulties? Raise your hand up. I'll know that you're with me or you're half asleep, one or the other, because life is full of difficulties. We have these storms, right? And I think a really good application of that, and it's funny that the life that was built upon the rock, the storm was described the exact same way as the life built upon sand. So, sounds like to me, whether you're lost or whether you're saved, whether you're building as a Christian upon the rock of Jesus' teaching or not, we're going to have storms, just like the world has. You know, there's a verse I found in Scripture. I was familiar with it in particular. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, this is kind of what it's saying. It says, that ye may be, in the same Sermon on the Mount, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he, that is your Father, maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So it sounds like to me, that God allows storms in the life of a Christian just like he allows storms in the life of a lost person. Y'all agree with that? So these storms come, and they're described exactly the same way. What are you building your life upon? Foundation number one, foundation number two. We looked at the storm, and now let's look at the end result. Point number four, last point. Do I hear an amen out there? Bobby, I appreciate a reserved amen, but that was a little bit too much for just joking with you. What about the end result? Look at verse 25, the end result. It says, the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. You see, foundation number one, when a life is built upon Jesus and upon the very teachings of Jesus, when the storms of life come, or whether the storm of judgment from Jesus himself comes at the judgment seat of Christ for a Christian, guess what? Your life will remain. The house will stay standing. It says, and it fell not. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. What a blessing. But it's not so for foundation number two. Look at verse 27, the latter part. The same storm, but it says the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. Foundation foundation number two didn't hold up so well, did it? So in application, guess what? If you're here today and you're lost without Jesus, and you leave this world lost without Jesus, guess what? The judgment of Jesus is not going to turn out very well with you. At the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to stand, the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. You're going to stand before God. The book of life is going to be opened. If your name's not written there, guess what? It says in Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So if you're here today and you do not know for sure that you're truly saved, I don't know what you're waiting for. I really don't. I mean, God's word is so clear. Remember the two paths. One leads to destruction, one to life. The two trees, the evil or corrupt tree that's speaking of a lost person, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Here, as we look at two foundations, foundation number two, your house is going to be wiped out. Destruction, complete destruction. I would encourage you, if you're here today, and if there's one iota of doubt in your brain about whether you're saved or not, whether you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, when we start to sing on the first note of the invitational song, you know what I'd do? I'd come right down the aisle, and I'll be somewhere down around front, and you say, "Preacher, I want to know I'm saved." And you can leave today saying, "You know what? I don't have to worry about that anymore. I know. I've nailed it down. I'm saved." What about the folks that are Christian today? And you say, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I can tell you when. I can tell you where. But what foundation are you building upon? Now, ultimately, you'd say, well, Jesus, and that's great. But what about the teachings of Jesus? The things that are contained in God's book? I don't know about you, but Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Wouldn't it be something if you stood before the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian? And if you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you are a Christian. And you're not judged according to your works, but you are judged according to your service. Wouldn't it be something if Jesus looked us straight in the eye and said, "You know what? I know that you trusted me as your Savior. I know that you're saved, but why didn't you build your life upon my teachings in the Word of God? Why did you build your life upon pleasure or sports or possessions or positions that you could get in life? Why did you build yourself upon your own pride? Why didn't you build it upon the teachings of the Word of God?" Now, if you're here today and you're living in known sin, guess what you're doing? You're building your life upon what you want to do and not upon the Word of God. Now, we're all sinners saved by grace, but if you're persisting in your lifestyle and you know that it's wrong and you're going to keep on doing it and you don't care what God says, whatever area that might be, you are not building upon the foundation of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And you need to get right with God. I'm just telling you, flat out. Not because the preacher wants you to, not because the church thinks you should. It's because you need to. And the storms of life are going to come up. What's that going to do to your life? Is it going to wipe you out? If you're not built upon the foundation of Jesus and built upon the foundation of the teachings of the Word, it might. And what about when the storm comes called the judgment seat of Christ? You're not going to have a good excuse about why you're doing things your own way and not God's ways according to the teachings of the Bible. I don't even think you're going to be able to speak those excuses. So I'd encourage you. You say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but there's some areas of my life. Maybe there's one area of my life I've not turned over to the Lord." Well, you're not following the teachings of Jesus. You're not building your life completely upon the foundation of God's Word. You need to get right with God today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, maybe in a year or so when I get this straightened up or that. No, today. Today. On the very first note of the invitational song, I would step out of your seat. You don't have to talk to the preacher, but I'd encourage you to come and talk to God about it. And say, God, this one area, this one thing maybe I'm doing, maybe 10 things, I don't know. But I'm not following your teachings. I'm not following your Bible. I'm doing what I want to do. Forgive me and help me to follow you completely. Would you do that today? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible, the clarity of this parable. Lord, it's very, 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 very clear and understandable. But Lord, I do pray if there's one person here today that's never been truly born again, Lord, they do not have the foundation of Jesus nor his teachings. I pray, Lord, before it does not end up well, before that end result is an eternity in a place called hell, I pray that even today they may come forward and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know where I'm going to spend eternity. And Lord, for the vast majority of folks here today says, I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. Lord, if there's anyone or several anyones here today that may have to truly and honestly admit before God, I'm not building my life completely on the teachings of Jesus. Maybe there's that one area or that one sin that I'm doing my own thing. Lord, I pray that they may come to this altar and ask for your forgiveness and your help so that they can build with your help upon the firm, solid foundation of Jesus and his teachings, we pray. Speak to hearts, but Lord, as this parable even tells us, Lord, help us to not only hear, but Lord, to obey what you tell us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name.